the information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on any subject that you have in mind. Guess what? It's New Year's. It's 2017, and we're all sitting around saying, okay, I made all those resolutions, and how do I get there? Well, you know what? A resolution and a commitment and goals all have some similarity in action, but when it comes to your health or actually anything that you're trying to do, there's a different impact. There's a different application. We're going to talk a little bit about that today because for 2017, I want that year to be extraordinary for you. I want it to be amazing. I want you to be able to grab what it is that you want from the world, from your health, and apply it appropriately, but you have to know how to make that happen. I'm here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your calls on anything you'd like to know about, but I want to walk you through this a little bit today. I have several things that are in the news that affect all of us and that you really need to know about. We're going to talk about your heart and arrhythmia later on in the program, and I think you're going to be very surprised how many of you are on drugs that allow the heart to resume its normal capacity and also the side effects that are associated with that. There's a very simple step in many cases that can resolve the problem. We're going to talk about that. So if you're on any meds that are like Toprol that allow your heart to resume its normal contraction, then this is something that you really need to pay attention to. But let's talk about your New Year's resolutions that you all made last night. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I never make a resolution. I make commitments. And we're going to talk about the difference between the two of them because a resolution can be wishy-washy. Most of you know that, you know, you resolved at one time or the other to lose, you know, 50 pounds, or you've resolved to start working out again, or you resolve to give up the cigarettes, or you resolve to whatever it is. You know what you did last night, and you list them up, and you make the attempt. And today, tomorrow, the next day are the busiest days in all the spas and gyms in the metropolitan area. But it fades very quickly because resolution means something that is not as anchoring as a commitment that is based on you. So let's talk about that a little bit, right? So resolution is a resolute statement. It's I'm going to do X, right? So we try to do that with firmness. We try to do it with determination. The decision to do something is simply a decision without any action. And if there's no action steps that are actually something that you can look at and say, wow, I can do that, then guess what happens? You fall off very quickly. You stop very quickly. We've all been there. You know, in the professional arena, whether it's what I do in integrative natural healthcare or in corporate America or in our own lives, we do certain things. We seek out coaches. We seek out teachers. And we apply their knowledge and their application for a period of time. And all of a sudden things change. But as they change, they have a tendency to go back to the same old, same old. Because, see, in the perspective of how we are as human beings, in, you know, how we run our lives, we all want to know what to do because we want an outcome. That's our, you know, resolution. What can I do? And the thing of it is that we find those step by step, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, do this and we can attain this. But then all of a sudden it stops. Why does it stop? Because the better question is not what do I do, but who do I have to be? How do I change me? How do I change how my head works? How do I change that procrastination piece? How do I change all those things? And there's actual steps. So the question becomes, who do I have to be to do ultimately to produce those things that I want? Because it's not in the end goal that's important. It's in the process of getting there that causes us to enjoy life, live great, and get all the things that we've ever thought we wanted. Because from a place of continued personal strength, guess what we get to do? We get to help other people at very, very high levels. So let's talk about that resolution commitment thing. See, commitment is a dedication. It's a faithfulness. It's allegiance. It's self-respect, if you will. It's an obligation. It's a duty. You know, when I use those terms opposed to resolution or, you know, to resolve, to make firm something. And by the way, I'm giving you the definitions from Webster, not Dr. Tom. But I want you to hear the differences in them. So when you're committed to something, fully committed, there's an emotion behind it. There's something that says, no more, never again will I ever allow this to take place. So we have to have that absolute look in the mirror and say, you know, this is what I want. But we need to go through, you know, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we sat with our staff and we went through goal setting. And I did it on a personal level for them, not on a professional level. And in about a month from now, I'm going to be in Orlando, I think 5 weeks. I'm going to be in Orlando. I'm going to be talking to a group of doctors and their staff. And we're going to be talking about their lives, their practices by intention. So this is what I want you to get. Where you are right now at this moment in time is absolutely perfect. It is meant to be the way it is. Why? Simply because you are. You're there. So, you know, you find yourself where you're at. That doesn't preclude change. You can change anything. As long as you're breathing and you want to, you can find the shifts, the changes to make you better and different than you are right now. Anything can be healed or made better over a period of time, but it takes your commitment, if you will, not your resolution, to move forward. So let's talk about that. You know, today when you have a few minutes, today's New Year's Day, what a better time to do it. Sit down with a piece of paper and make it a Christmas wish list. Something that, you know, that is really extraordinary and exaggerated, and write down all the things that you'd like in your lives. There's no boundaries here. Let's talk about your physical piece, though. Let's talk about the way your brain works. Let's talk about the way your energy is. Let's talk about the way your physical strength is. And if you could do it anyway, if you had a magic wand and you could wave it, and you can end up where your vision, your hallucination, if you will take you, what would it look like? What would you look like? And you can make it as crazy and as seemingly bizarre as you want to. You can sit there and say, you know, if you're like 60 pounds overweight, say, I want to be, you know, 60 pounds lighter, and I want to be, you know, and you create the body fat level. That's, I mean, reasonable, you know, meaning that, you know, somebody who's an elite athlete. When I was in college and I was playing ball at Kent State University in Ohio, as a running back, I was 218 pounds during season, and my body fat was 8 to 9%. You know, so that's an elite athlete. But in today, it's not that, but my body weight isn't that either. So you have to look at what really makes sense, but stretch your imagination. The next question is not only, what do I want? You know, I want to have energy, but what does energy mean to you? I want to be able to walk 10 flights of steps and not breathe heavy. And it goes on. Then the question becomes is, who do I have to become? And that person that I am in the process of becoming, what steps does that person take? So at that point, you need a model. You need somebody out there that you can identify within your age group and perhaps even younger, because sometimes we limit by saying, you know, well, what do I expect from my age? I don't know about the rest of you, but what I expect from my age is a whole lot of everything, and to be able to apply it in every aspect of my life. So find the image and begin to develop a model. Find out what that person is thinking about on a day-to-day basis, how they run their life. You know, I use this analogy when I talk to patients about changes and permanent changes. There's a guy out there, and, you know, let's say he's about a 45, 50-year-old person, and it can be applied at any age in any situation. But this guy goes to his doctor, and the doctor says, Mr. Jones, you have a shadow in your lungs. And if you don't quit smoking, I'm afraid that shadow is really going to manifest itself as cancer, and it's going to shorten your life. He says that to Mr. Johnson as well. And Mr. Jones being the type of guy that he is, he's, you know, he's never thought of cigarettes other than something that relaxes him, enjoys him, it calms him down. So he quits because he's afraid. The other guy, same scenario, same doctors, same explanation, decides to quit. And this one says, I'm going to be better. I'm going to change who I am. I'm going to change my life. So 6, 7, 8, 9 months, a year goes by, and you run into these two guys. And the first one, you say, hey, you know, you want a cigarette? The guy says, no, I quit. The second guy you offer the same cigarette to, and he says, no, I don't smoke. Think about the retort on both of these guys. One says, I quit. So what is he thinking about? He's thinking about the cigarette. I quit smoking, I quit smoking, I quit smoking. The other guy says, I don't smoke. He's now envisioned himself as a non-smoker who doesn't touch the stuff and wants to have energy and wants to move forward. See, the difference is the guy that says, I quit, I promise you at some point, whether it's a year or two or three later, and you know people who have done this, he's going to go back and he's going to start smoking again. The other guy who is looking forward to something else, like better health and breathing better and more energy and so forth, will never touch them, or likelihood will never touch them again, simply because he no longer identifies himself with the cigarette. So for you to change anything when it comes to your health, you must change the vision of who you are. You know, people say, well, what do you expect for your age? You know, you have to take these pills for the rest of your life. You know, well, when you hit this part of your life, you have to, you know, I went to a physician in August, and I've told this story to a couple of people. All right. My lifestyle is one that my blood chemistries are great. Everything is going on, you know, the way that I wanted to. I have all kinds of energy. I do what I want to do. So I go to this guy because about every 2 years, I'd like to have a treadmill exam just so I can push myself a little further and make sure, you know, I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. I want to make sure that everything's working the way it's supposed to, particularly with my stress levels being the way it is. So I go to this guy and, you know, they go in and they do the history. The nurses take the history and she says, well, you forgot to fill out the medication list. And I said, well, no, I don't take any medications. She said, you don't take any medications? I said, no, I don't take any medications. So they go in and then they're going to do the EKG and the echocardiogram and the treadmill exam and so forth. And the nurse again goes through the file and she says, this is another nurse. And she said, you forgot to write down the medications. I looked at it and I said, I don't take any medications. And she just looked at me like I was this weird oddball guy. And so she said, well, when was the last time you took any medications? I said, except for 2 rounds of antibiotics for a tooth infection. Probably been about 43 years since I've had any meds whatsoever, including aspirin in my body. And she just looked at me like I was this person from, you know, this planet that wasn't even our solar system. Then I go in and see the doc, and this is the best one. I go in and see the doc, and he asked me the same question. And I looked at him, and I said, really? And he says, well, you know, at your age, you have a 12% chance of having a heart attack within the next 10 years. I said, doc, for my age, across the board with all men or people who are in my condition. My blood pressure was 116 over 68 on that visit. My cholesterol levels are not abnormal. I'm in a good place. So here's the deal. Don't be a cookie cutter and don't accept somebody else's focus and decision about your life when it's not necessary. And he tells me, he says, well, you have a small, very, very minimal ejection murmur. And I said, yeah, that's because I was a jock all my life. Isn't that normal, doc? And he just looked at me and I said, you know what? I think we're done here. And I will tell you the rest of the story when we come back from the break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is New Year's Day, and you have the first day of the rest of your life to make all kinds of decisions. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live on New Year's Day 2017. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Let's start out the new year the right way. We talked a little bit about the differences between resolution and commitments, and it starts with you. It starts with who do you have to become to make some changes? And you know what my belief system is. As long as you're breathing, and you are if you're listening to this program, well, maybe you're not. You're, you know, in the ethereal someplace, and you're listening to me anyway. You can make anything happen. You can change all kinds of things. Let's go to the phones. Mark, how can I help you, sir?
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Mark, you're down calling down from Norfolk. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Yeah, I used to live in Fairfax, and I've been a longtime fan, and I keep the Sunday tradition alive for me. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. How can I help you?
Well, I've been struggling lifelong with eczema and asthma, and depending on the flare-up and the time of year, I get prescribed a steroid when my regular meds aren't enough. And so this year I'm just wondering, like, what can I do in terms of, like, diet? I mean, I eat really clean. I exercise daily. I'm really healthy that way. But it just seems my flare-ups are so random, and I can't pick the trigger.
Okay.
My environment. I just can't decide what it is, and I'm just wondering what I can do.
Okay.
Let
me kind of focus here. Remember that, you know, my whole vision about health is structural, chemical, emotional. And no matter what situation, asthma or eczema, they all still fall into that category. There's either something that's injured the nervous system, biochemical imbalances, or emotional stress patterns. And we can get in very deep into the emotional relationships and all of that. But, you know, just off the top, here's what you look at. You look at, obviously, dietary things, because a lot of people are sensitive show allergy reactions to different foods and environments and chemistries, even though they don't think they are, because it's not showing up as the normal runny nose, irritable bowel type of thing, but it can show up as an asthmatic reaction, or in this case, an eczematic presentation. So what you want to do to start with is, you know, take a look at your history. You know, if there was any injury that you sustained years ago and it could have affected the nervous system, so your body's not working the way it's supposed to, so you need to get that checked out and see somebody that does the work that I do. But having said that, so much asthma and eczema have a common pattern, and it's a weakness in the fight-flight system in the adrenal glands, those little ductless glands that sit on top of the kidneys. Now, things that you can do on your own that won't get you into trouble, that'll fix the gut, the intestinal system, because the skin is basically the largest organ of elimination that you have, and a lot of things come out on the skin's surface that are a result of your body's inability to handle things inside, or its toxic elimination process and wants to get rid of it. First thing that I would tell you to do is start taking some vitamin D3, and you want to maybe crank it up to about 5,000 units a day. It has a huge antimicrobial effect in the body, and it dramatically boosts your immune reaction. Vitamin E as well, I would get a natural form, and you want to make sure that it's, you're going to see on the side of a vitamin E bottle, it says D alpha tocopherol, and then it might be acetate or mixed tocopherols or succinate and so forth. You want to get mixed tocopherols in this, but you want a D alpha. If you see the letter D like David, and then there's an L like Louis next to it, it's a synthetic form. You don't want to get that one. So you take that. You want to take maybe about 400 units a day. That's it. You don't need any more about that. Coconut oil works extremely well. But you want to get a very strong probiotic and take it a couple times a day. If you begin to heal the gut. So what I'm telling you to do is begin to work on immune strength and intestinal tract integrity, making sure that you're digesting properly and so forth. I mean, we can get into the omega-3, omega-6, omega-9 balances. Things like evening primrose and barge oil, which contains GLA, these things help the skin dramatically. And so you can, you know, go to a good health food store. Don't go to, you know, a junk place, but a natural health food store. Tell them that you want to, you know, look at these things and see what happens. Lavender, by the way, can also soothe the skin, and it's an essential oil that makes huge differences. Oils like melaleuca and myrrh are effective in healing eczema. You put those things on top of the skin. You're not going to take them orally because they'll be a problem. But do those. Start with that. If I can help you more, send me a note at rosellcare.com, and I'll guide you even further. There's some good people, by the way, down by where you are, and I can give you a couple names to pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah, I wonder. And just off the top of my head, I was a donor in a kidney transplant 8 years ago, and I'm wondering, after you said that, if that plays a factor, because I've noticed it worse in my adult years than I did in my younger years, which is kind of ironic, because a lot of the doctors said you would outgrow it or you would manage it better as an adult.
No,
I'm 27 now, so.
Yeah, no, because it's a stress-related situation. You're going to have to really clean everything up about you and make sure that your life and your health is well-balanced. You know, my mantra, you know, eliminate sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO foods, things like that. That's just the beginning state, but you got to look at it. You have to, again, look at it. What can I do that allows me to become the greatest me possible physically? And, you know, that's the pattern. So, you know, give me a, you know, send me a note, rosellcare.com. I'll try to give you a little bit more information, Mark. Okay. But if you just do those things and making sure, and by the way, lots and lots of fresh alkaline water, clear your system out, take those things that we talked about. You can't get hurt with those. And I think you'll see some changes, but I'm happy to, you know, to give you a little bit. But you, if you've got any structural pieces, you're going to need to see somebody. Acupuncture works very, very well, resetting the system. But asthma can be beat. You don't have to live with asthma. It's one of these things that can be turned around. And what we see with asthmatic patients is often the communication between the brain and the lungs aren't working. There's a nerve called the vagus nerve. It's the longest nerve in the body, and one of its primary sites is the lung as well as the heart and stomach and so forth. So if there's been any injury whatsoever, often that nerve is affected. There's nerves from the spine at the upper portion of the back, just where the neck and shoulders meet, that also affect that area. But give us a call or, you know, send me a note. That's the easy way to find me. I rarely get on the phone because I'm over the top, either in the office with patients or outside teaching someplace. But if you send me a note, I promise you I'll answer you and point you in the direction you need to do. Mark, thank you very much. Happy New Year. Appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. This is our New Year's Day program, and we're here for you, and I want to get you on the right track for the 2017 season, and there's nothing that can't be changed or made a whole lot better than where it is right now, providing that you make the decision that's something that you want to do, and it starts with you. It starts with, how do I change me to do the things I need to do to produce the outcome that I want to have this year? And by the way, that means listen to Dr. Tom Rozell Live and use our resources and all the educational processes that we have. We'll be right back after these messages.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year to you. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and we're here to set a standard for this year, make things a whole lot better than what it was in 2016. You know, 2016 was a year of kind of up and down at all kinds of levels, and it wasn't one that I was terribly sad to see go by. I'm very happy that we're have a new opportunity, but every day is a new opportunity. You know, I get up and I have mantras that I go through in the morning. I have these affirmations, if you will. And I don't know why. I can't tell you why. But when you start your life, your morning, your night, with an affirmation, it seems to set a new standard. And, you know, I can't explain it to you except that it's like a magnetism that you draw to yourself, what you're visualizing, what you're thinking about, what you're focused on. And, you know, you go and you can look at motivational coaches and so forth, and they say, you know, write your goals down and plan your goals. Well, it comes down to more than that. It comes down to what we were talking about earlier about recreating you. What do you have to do? And it starts, and the only effective way that I know is doing affirmations on a regular basis. And, you know, because from a place of personal strength, you get to help more people, you get to do more things, you know, for everybody that's out there. It's important that, you know, we strengthen ourselves. And then once we strengthen ourselves, then we can begin to set these goals that we want, because it really comes from a platform of recreating us. You know, there's a lot of people who I have a tremendous amount of respect for in my life. And the guys that have been the most successful, and whether it's corporate America, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in even a theology, they will tell you that the expression of you in your life really starts with your identity and who you are. And that's so true when it comes to our health. Because those of you who don't think that anything that you're putting into your body, your exposures, or your thought processes have anything to do with what your health becomes over a period of time, are grossly hurting yourselves, because you're limiting the capacity, the ability of your body to shift and change virtually anything. You know, we talked a little bit about in the beginning of the program, I told you, I said, you know, stay tuned because we're going to talk about heart arrhythmias. And those of you are on Toprol, right? Well, here's the deal. You know, heart arrhythmias don't just happen. There's a reason for them. Remember, the heart is kind of this amazing piece of machinery. It's got three neurological sources. It has that vagus nerve that we talked about before the break. It comes down from the brain, touches the heart. It has the nerves from the spine. So if your structural system's not lined properly, if you have spinal lesions or subluxations, they're going to affect the neurological transmission. And it has the pacemakers within the heart. But for any muscle, whether it is the heart muscle or kidney or intestinal tract or anything else, it has to have certain balances of biochemistry. And, you know, 10 years ago, traditional medicine came out and said, guess what? Vitamin D3 is critical to the firing and operation of the heart. Didn't know that, did you? You thought it was just for immune system and your skin and so forth, but it affects the heart. And 75% of the people who had arrhythmias had low vitamin D levels. 75%. That's called a clue. Well, here's another one. Magnesium. Magnesium is the number one deficient mineral in all of our bodies because it's used in every capacity, whether it's brain function, whether it's neural, whether it's autoimmune reaction, adrenal fight flight, and heart. And when magnesium goes low, your heart starts misfiring. It goes afibrillation. When you're under tremendous amount of stress, vitamin B complex and magnesium get burned up overnight. And then we can compound it with all the medications you're taking, you know, eliminate things like potassium. That's called your diuretics that you're taking for your high blood pressure. Well, what you didn't know is if you don't have enough magnesium, guess what happens? Your blood pressure goes up. And because your body has to work harder, magnesium allows muscles to contract properly. Sarah, how can I help you?
Rizzo, how are you?
Very good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I wanted to ask your opinion on a couple heart medications. I'm actually calling on behalf of someone else who on Christmas Day had a heart attack and had to have a stent put in. And there was only the one blockage. The rest of the heart looked completely fine, which the cardiologist said was unusual.
Do you know what part of the heart was affected or what artery was affected?
I think it was the lower
The right side or was it the left side?
It was the right side.
Okay, so not as dangerous if it was the left. Go ahead.
So, and anyway, the stent went fine and they released him within 48 hours and they have him on a couple heart medications. One is Brilanta.
Okay.
And it's 90 milligrams twice a day.
Okay.
The other is Coreg. 3.125 milligrams twice a day. Vasitec, 3.5 milligrams twice a day. And a baby aspirin once a day.
Yeah,
they wanted him on Lipitor, but he just refused. He's never had, you know, anything close to a cholesterol problem in his life.
He's on all kinds of medications. He's on things to regulate the heart, thin the blood. The stent itself.
And antiplatelets is what they said to keep the stent from plugging up.
Correct. So here's the deal with that. Over time, there's tremendous side effects to these medications. And in the short process, he's got to look at everything globally, but he's got to do it with somebody who really understands and knows what they're doing with this stuff. Post-surgical like this, I would never, ever, ever tell him, you know, to stop this and to do something else. But he's got to have a functional medicine doc that can help him transition. Once a stent is in, and depending on the type of stent, there's going to have to be some type of blood thinner probably for the rest of his life, simply because of the fact, and it doesn't have to be aspirin. There's other things that can be done. There are functional medicine MDs that are out there that understand you know, how these things can be shifted, but he has to be monitored. So let's go to the fact that he doesn't have high cholesterol. So it goes to the original question of why should he plaque anyway if he's got low cholesterol or normal cholesterol? See, plaquing, and it's the only area that's involved, everything else is clean. Cholesterol has to do, or excuse me, plaquing has to do with inflammation, acid, and it has to do with irritation damage. So if he ever took, and I'm making this up because I don't know if it's true or not, if he ever took a hit to the chest wall, it can develop scar tissue in the heart. And any type of fat that's available at that point will be susceptible to plaque in the arteries because now he's developed something called inflammation. So is there a way to reverse that? Yes, but you have to do certain things all the time. You have to build enough collateral circulation, that's secondary circulation, as things begin to clog up, and that has to do with exercise, and it has to do with diet, but it has to make sure that the mineralization, magnesium was one of them that we just talked about, are in balance. So those are important. Anti-inflammatories, the omega-3s, the omega-3, 6, and 9s, in proper balance. But again, that has to be dealt with very cautiously. When somebody's been put on aspirin as an, a preventative, aspirin, as we know, doesn't work, and it actually increases the cardiac risk. If you go into FDA findings on aspirin 2 years ago, you're going to find that they came out and said what they'd known prior to that for over 10 to 15 years, that aspirin actually causes damage. It increases the risk of further stroke and heart attack by rupture, not by clog, but by bleeding.
Is that true even after you've had a stent?
Of course. Of course. No, I mean, it's still going to increase it. If you go in, you're going to see that the information's been there for years and says that patients who've been put on aspirin show the worst cardiac outcomes. And so it's there. It's easy to find. All you got to do is go in and say FDA position on aspirin and then go 2 years from this last August, so 2014. And you're going
to
see
that would be a good one for him just not to take.
Well, I can't do that. Okay, just understand that,
right.
I'm giving you data. So
we'll look at the data.
Okay, but make sure you look at the data, and then you need to deal with somebody who really understands this and begins to change it. So first thing that you have to identify is, why did he plaque to begin with? So you have to look at all those structural, chemical, emotional things. Emotional stress is crazy. It's going to cause the vessels of the body to have all kinds of problems. People who've had injury to the nervous system or directly to the structure are going to have problems. So somebody like this, I'm going to hallucinate that if I had my fingers in the pot, we would be dealing with this person with checking out their structure, checking out their acupuncture energetics. We would be looking at their lifestyle, their diet, and so forth. And we would look at treatment directed to that. So for a period of time since the surgery, he's going to have to stay on some stuff. There's no two ways about it, but he's going to need to deal with somebody ultimately that knows what they're doing and that can begin to shift his biochemistry enough that perhaps he can get off the majority of these things. My guess is, I don't know. And depending on what he, what his history is, he may have to stay on, some sort of medications. Are the ones that he's on the best? Maybe, maybe not, but it has to be looked at kind of globally. But can there be changes? Can there be things that can be shifted? I think so. I think that it can absolutely be shifted. Sarah, you can send me a note at RoselleCare.com. I'll give you some more data. But that's what my feelings are on the subject at this point. I hope that was useful to you. I appreciate it. 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is New Year's Day program that we're giving you some very insightful information. We just talked a little bit about the heart and arrhythmias and saying that magnesium is one of the missing links. We knew vitamin D3 was years ago. But I want you to goal your lives. I don't want you to make resolutions, because resolutions are kind of, it's like kissing your sister. It's kind of not all that, right? You have to have a firm commitment to something and making sure that, it's about you, that nothing is going to get in your way. The people who want you to go out and eat the pizzas and, let's go bowling. And, you got to be careful with docs out there, even if they're well-meaning. You go in and say, hey, I need to lose some weight and so forth. And they're either going to put you on a pill or they're going to tell you, you're not too heavy because you're not any heavier than they are. And they haven't identified their own problems yet. And, it's too many of us get into a situation where we're looking for the best thing we can take to make a difference. Well, in my book that I wrote a couple years back called Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, still available, by the way. You can pick it up either by going online at RoselleCare.com or you can get it on the Internet as well. it lays out a step-by-step process of how you look at structural, chemical, emotional. You look at those pieces together as a group. How do you put it together? How do you put the package together? Step-by-step process, structural, chemical, emotional. You can't eliminate one piece or the other. Linda, how can we help you?
Hi there, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Linda.
Thank you. I became ill 14 months ago with biotoxin illness after working in a water-damaged building. It was a fast onset. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I have not been... It totally wrecked my health physically, mentally. I was able to find a doctor who has retired but consults, and he had my regular doctor order a barrage of blood tests, the NeuroQuant brain scan, and all kinds of evidence that I was sickened from mold, water damage in that building. It's been a year. Physically, I'm doing a lot better. My brain is still not what it used to be, and the doctor told me that it'll take probably a year to, you know, get somewhat fully recovered, but I may not really ever fully get my brain function back. The hippocampus area was affected.
The hippocampus is tied into so many things.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you know about that illness? It was hard to find someone who really is knowledgeable about the illness.
When you're dealing with biotoxin patterns and biotoxin illness, you're looking at a systemic process. And does it affect the hippocampus? You bet it does. Most of these problems come from sick buildings. And,
right.
You know, if there's a lot of water and dampness, the mold, the mm-hmm. fungus, the black mold, these are some of the things that get into the nervous system and really tremendously cause the body to get sick and to begin to break down. The hippocampus, there's this thing called the HPA axis. And mm-hmm. the hippocampus obviously is that H piece of it. And so what happens if the hippocampus isn't working properly, then you can't trigger the pituitary to work the way it's supposed to, and you can't balance a lot of other pathways.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to look at is, you know, is it fungus, is it bacterial, Lyme comes into the biotoxic patterns. There are many other pieces as well. So what you have to do is you identify. From our business, what we do is we look at the system from how, you know, the inflammatory cascades that take place, what's breaking down. You have to, if you were exposed to a moldy biotoxic environment and you're the mm-hmm. one that got sick, it's usually because your immune system wasn't at a place where you could handle it if it hit you that quickly, that fast. And
right.
you get sick slowly. So you go back and you look at your gut first. You have to heal the intestinal tract. If the gut isn't healed, then you continue, no matter what you do, to reabsorb the toxins. You have to look at the overlay of heavy metal toxicity within the system. A lot of times it's lead. A lot of times it's aluminum. A lot of times it's mercury from a lot of different sources. So you have to,
right.
again, it's individual relative to history. So now you got a double fold. If your nervous system isn't working properly to be able to eliminate things come in, there's often weaknesses and deficiencies in things like taurine and theanine, and these are things that help balance that system. So once it's broken down, medium chain triglycerides, MCTs, which are often found in things like coconut oil, can mm-hmm. help heal the system, but they're also good antifungals. Caprylic acid is something that is used well, but it has to be very specific so it can absorb into the body. A lot of different things that are very, very specific, which it's specific to you, your immune system, what your body's doing, and so forth. You know, hang on just a second. I want to go a little further with this, this situation, because I want you to, you know, have some data that you can follow through with. Don't go away, okay? We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. It is New Year's Day, and the opportunity for you to change virtually anything that you'd like to change, at least make it a whole lot better, it's up to you. You have to look in the mirror today. Get it done. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at the same time, 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard, and you do the math regardless of where you're at. We appreciate all of you that have been with us for such a very, very long time. If you need to reach out, RozelleCare.com, and that's how you find me and any of the great doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing, and we'll get back to you and answer your questions very, very specifically. Linda, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So listen, you know, what I want to do is just give you, I mean, it's a subject that you and I could sit here and talk about for the next 2-3 hours.
Right.
But biotoxin patterns, I'm going to take mold because that's what it sounds like with you, because there's other triggering mechanisms as well, but it's not an allergic reaction. It's a toxic reaction. People have to understand mm-hmm. there's a difference between the two. And it's,
right.
you know, we think of mold, we think of candida and, you know, household molds and things that we get, but it goes beyond that. It's not an infection. It's an actual impact, an insult to the nervous system and mm-hmm. subsequently all the autoimmune reactions that go on from that point on. So you have to look at the body as a whole. And, I can say, unfortunately, we've treated a lot of this stuff over many years where people didn't even identify it years ago. They just said, well, you know,
right.
it's one of those things.
Right.
You know, and it goes to, you can get, I'm a diver. I've been scuba diving for many years. I got a master's tag. So knowing that, you know, there are fishes that are out there that also can trigger biotoxic reactions as well. And,
hmm.
you know, so you see the thing, spiders and fleas, and they also carry things. That's why I said early on that Lyme is also in that category because
I have Lyme disease too since the year 2000.
All right. So you got a double whammy. That's one of the reasons that
yeah.
your immune system is compromised.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, with Lyme, there's a biofilm and there's ways of eliminating that, but it's not by antibiotics. And if you take antibiotics for that, you dramatically decreased your body's immunological responses. So your body can't recover to anything else that happens comes down along the line. So
mm-hmm.
what you look at is you have to heal the gut. You have to strengthen the adrenal system. There's ways of resetting the hippocampus, you know, so your pituitary, you know, can start working the way it's supposed to. Because without that connection, then, you know, your thyroid's not going to work. And then the feedback mechanism, the adrenal system's not going to work. You're not going to put out triggering mechanisms to your ovaries and hormones and so forth. And it's a lousy cascade. But, you know, when you're dealing with a high level of inflammation that has to be blunted and then the body underneath it has to be healed before you can even begin to detox. Because if you try to detox these things before those systems are reset, you get sick again all over again. And so you have to look at that. But, you know, it's about your defense mechanisms. It's about, you know, the underlying co-conspirators, if you will, other bacteria that are in there. But it's more than just mold that drives biotoxic problems. And
mm-hmm.
so you have to look at it across the board. Like I said, I'd love to be able to, you know, to talk to you much longer on this. It's probably a program that I should do just on that. But there's much that can be done. Send me a note at RozelleCare.com. But, Linda, my knee jerk is that there's a lot that can be done to help you even now and make life a whole lot better than what it is. So if I can help you, reach out to us, Linda. Really appreciate your phone call. This is something that, you know, a lot of people suffer from, and unfortunately, traditional allopathic community doesn't recognize it all the time until it's too late. And at that point, the patient is so sick. You have to get somebody who understands biochemical illnesses and be able to look at the pathways and handle them one piece at a time, lifting layer after layer. It starts with the gut, resetting the adrenal system, and then gently begin to detox the system. But you've got to turn the nervous system on. You have to be able to fix these things from their origin. If you don't, their predisposition is probably better said. If you don't do that, you got a problem that just never goes away. You know, these acquired irritations, damages, you know, again, they're not limited just to mold and fungus. They can be bacteria. They can, you know, they can be toxic elements that are absorbed from other things. it's a huge list. So we're just touching the iceberg on this, but there's a lot that can be done. But Linda, for your case, you know, start taking some coconut oil just to increase your immune response, get rid of all the junk in your body. If you haven't eliminated, you know, the things that you know you're sensitive to, you know, use my mantra, if you will: sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products. Get them out of your diet. Go to, you know, a very healthy, organic, alkaline diet and go from there. Everything else needs to be built on top of that, and the intestinal system needs to be repaired, and it has to be repaired well. You know, I was reading an article the other day. Those of you who have bad gums, or you end up with gum disease a lot, one of the things that you really need to do is restore your intestinal health. You need to get your gut to start working again. That means that your digestive enzymes in your stomach have to be optimized. If you're on any kind of protein pump inhibitors, it's going to make a difference. If you don't have good bacterium in your gut because you've been on antibiotics or indirect exposure to antibiotics for years, you know, like things that are non-organic, meats and chickens and so forth, because they inject them prophylactically with antibiotics, you're getting them in your body. So your gut begins to break down. You've got to get a good broad spectrum probiotic and begin to take it multiple times a day. If you do that and some other things, by the way, that's just a beginning stage. You'll find that life will change. Remember, this is 2017. You have an opportunity to change so much in your life if you decide you want to change you. It's an opportunity. It's a time. The doctors at the Results Center for Healing are there to help you. Join us. Come to our in-house continuing education programs. Be motivated. Just don't sit there. Make a decision to do something different. Coming up to a break. Happy New Year, everybody. I love you all. Bye.